We want to thank God for those of you that are tuning in with us, either watching online or also on our podcast app, Podbean. It sure is a blessing that you are tuning in, and very thankful for those of you that were able to make it in-house. Amen. So today, just before we get to some announcements, we're just going to finish up officially through the recording, if you will. This may be a repeat for those of you who were here with us last Sunday, but I added some notes to kind of add some extra teaching on what we're going to talk about. But today we're going to officially end the book of Romans chapter 16, and then we're going to take a couple of breaks for the next couple of Sundays to do some topical teachings. And then the next book that we're going to start is the book of Galatians. So we're going to look forward to that just because it's very similar in as far as the meat and the essence of teaching from God for Christians. It's going to help us to perfect that which he laid down already in Romans and also strengthen some of those great doctrinal things. But a lot of good meat yet nevertheless in Galatians as well. So just know that's kind of the direction that we're going to be heading as we move forward. But again, as we just go over some quick announcements, sure want to thank God for the use of you who are here and are able to attend with us online. We'll just briefly share with you what's going to go on for the next few days. And so if you can just look up to the projector screen, and we'll talk about that now. Give me 1 second here. And there we go for the online crowd. All right. So for those of you guys who know, my wife is going to be flying out of town. We could sure use your prayers, so keep her in prayer. She's going to be going to Florida to visit her best friend as she gets surgery. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But brother's going to be lonely. So next Wednesday, her flight leaves out at 9 in the evening, so 9 o'clock at night. And usually, we still have church. Of course, as you guys know, we just have to leave early. But because we have to be there about an hour or two before, I just wanted to get some feedback from those of you that are here, if you guys want to still meet anyways and perhaps turn it into a prayer night. It's up to you guys for the church. I just wanted to offer that to you. So for those of whoever are here now, and then we'll talk to those who will come in a little bit. If you guys are willing, man, please still come to congregate, fellowship, and maybe, you know, either share a word of encouragement or prayer. It's totally up to you, but I just got to take my wife to San Diego. As you guys know, familiar with that, a little bit earlier, so we got to leave by like 6, 7, somewhere in that area, and take her down there to the San Diego airport. So just let me know, but I think it'll be good for you guys to still come for prayer or however. That should be a blessing. And then for those of you that are watching online, we're located here at 1836 Dixie Street in Oceanside, California. You can find our space that we are renting by following those parking lot signs. And we're going to get some new signs soon. Praise the Lord. We got them underneath there. We're almost done moving into our new location next month, so I'll be able to finish welding those A-frames so we can put up those nice new signs. But we're still doing it old school with our wood ones. Amen. They're still holding it down for us. That's a blessing. As far as the calendar goes, there's nothing other than that specially planned out. End of the month potluck, if you guys still want to attend that and we still want to keep that going, that should be a blessing. Just let me know, and we'll come together and have a good time. As far as ministry opportunity goes, you guys already know, Saturday, we try to encourage our church to participate in evangelism. And if you guys have other times that are available, let me know. I'll make time to go with you for those of you who can't go with us on Saturday. But it was an awesome time. My wife and I, we finished the street over here off Mesa and Todd. We went door knocking, and we took a break for the remaining because she had some personal things. But it was awesome. We almost all the doors received us. Huh, honey? It was a blessing. We talked to some great folks, and we gave them all a tract, and they were very thankful for us to be out there witnessing, and they were very kind. So all of Mesa and Todd is good. So if you guys can imagine where Buddy Todd Park is, we knocked out all those like little neighbors down there. We're going to keep going down Buddy Todd Park and that secondary street before you get to the other street there, and we're going to finish that neighborhood and then come back on this side and finish up all those other houses. So again, as a church, please come with us. Help us to reach our city one house at a time, and then public outreach. Right after we're done with our soul winning for the door knocking, we just go straight to public and just pass out some flyers. Thank you. And then every other Thursday, we go to the Sunset Market. So if you can join us, please do. We're going to meet here around 6 o'clock, and then just go down there to go have a good time just passing out flyers. You don't have to preach. You just got to hold a sign or maybe just give a flyer. You know, just be yourself for the Lord. I know the Lord can use you with whatever you already got. Amen. Keep us in prayer. Prayer, that's the most important announcement. Please submit a prayer request online, and then we look forward to our next prayer service next month. As far as the live stream links go, so you guys already know, I want to encourage you to download the podcast Bean app. You can listen to our teachings MP3. So for example, if you're working, you can't physically see, you can listen to the MP3 of this recording as well. And last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful. And whatever you purpose in your heart to give of your finances to support your local church here, and you can do so online. Got a little box back there. And by the grace of God, he has sure met our needs thus far and our supporting missionaries as well. We're looking to add another missionary soon. I'll let you know who and how that goes. And if you guys have any suggestions for me as well, please let me know as well. Amen. Does anybody here have any announcements they'd like to share? Some good news opening up? Everybody good? Okay, well, it's good to see you all. Amen. And I'm thankful for Sister Dina tuning in with us Wednesday night over the phone. That sure was a blessing. You made people smile, so thank you for that. And glad to announce we're moving forward. I do want to remind you guys today, let me just pull this up here on the screen, if you will, and then we'll get the service going here. Give me a second. Let me just type it out. I think it's Berean Bible Baptist Church, Chula Vista. Let me just go ahead and type it out like this. I just wanted to show you, here's the church that we're going to be going to. So if you don't have any plans tonight and you want to fellowship with us, that should be a blessing. We're going to be going down to Chula Vista tonight to go visit another great pastor friend and church. And for those of you who were here with me from last week and giving you guys that great announcement, this is going to be Pastor Melita, who's just going to so graciously support us now in our church and my pastoral needs as well as your pastoral needs as an extension of love and fellowship. And so just know tonight we're going to go down there to fellowship with them. If you want to go with us, their evening service starts at 5 o'clock, so around 3:34 or somewhere in that area. We'll start heading down there. It's just going to be a good time from 5 to 6:30, and then we'll be back here by like 8 o'clock. And I want to just open that up, invitation to anybody here today who wants to go with us, just have a good time. But yeah, praise God, Berean Bible Baptist Church, Pastor Melito, awesome, awesome brother. Great church family, great church pastor, great teaching, good people there, amen. And just know they're going to be an extension and to us, are going to be a support to us in love and prayer. So please join us if you can, good people. And I hope one day that he'll be able to come up here and minister to our church. Amen. So just keep that in prayer. So just wanted to point that out there. Amen. Okay. All right, guys. Well, if there's no other announcements to share, would you please do me a favor and turn with me in your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter number 16. We are officially going to finish today our book of Romans study. It's been almost 3 years, but by God's grace, we made it verse by verse. I was talking to a good friend last night, 3 years, and I said, yeah, because, you know, it's our first book as a church to go through. We want to take our time. I want to do my best as a young pastor, show myself approved. I want to feed you as much as I can. I want to kind of show you all the verses and why this and that important, and you guys know how we do it. I just want to feed you the Word of God the best I can. So today, we're officially going to finish it, and like I said, the next couple of Sundays, we're just going to have some great topical studies of some good Bible teachings, some basic Christianity principles, and then we'll get back on our book-by-book, verse-by-verse study probably in about a month or two, which is going to be the book of Galatians, by the way. So if you want to kind of get ahead of schedule, just go ahead and read it on your own time, amen. But Romans chapter 16, let's go ahead and revisit what we spoke about. For those of you who were here last Sunday, a lot of this may be repeated, but I did add some notes, and I think you'll see why at the end, and there's going to just be some further clarification on some things that the Lord talks about here. Let's read together verse 17 all the way through the end. All right, the Bible says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Artertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And some of you guys may have at the bottom of your Bible, in the footnote, if you will, written to the Romans from Corinthos, sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. They include that in your King James Bible because some of the manuscripts have a little footnote, just some similar things like that, some ending description, if you will, of where this was perhaps written from and through whom it came to. Amen. All right, let's go to verse 17 and say a quick word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to teach once again these folks that came here today. Lord, would you impart upon us wisdom? May your Holy Spirit fill us one more time with a spirit of concentration to study the word, hear the word, and apply the word the best we can within our lives. Lord, I'm very thankful for every soul that is here today. Would you help them to get back to their homes safely after our service? Help us in our travels to Chula Vista and for those who would like to attend. And we thank you ahead of time, God, and direct us for the next couple of months as well as we prepare ourselves to go through our next book of the Bible. And we give you glory, honor, and praise ahead of time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse number 17. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What do we want to remind you about from these two verses? For those of you who were here last week, once again, I just want to remind you, this is just going to be a lot of repetition for you, but we did have some notes that we just wanted to add for you, to encourage you and to rethink about some of these things as we further, as we kind of finish the study, if you will. So look at once again how God describes these folks that he wants us to avoid. Number one, the people that he wants us to avoid in verse number 17 are those who are purposefully going to cause divisions. For those who are going to purposefully cause an offense to something that God already taught you in the book of Romans from chapter 1 to chapter 16. He gives you permission to avoid anybody who claims to be a Christian who is going to purposefully teach you something that is not in this particular book. Now, for those who may say, well, what about the rest of the book? Yes, I agree. The rest of the Bible as well in general. In other words, not just this particular book itself by saying, well, let's read chapter 1, let's read chapter 2. Yes, that's going to be the immediate context, but generally the whole Bible. So people who are going to purposefully cause you to doubt, cause you to question, cause you to, again, do anything contrary to whatever the Word of God tells you to do, God permitted you to what? Avoid them, and that's okay. Verse number 18, he gives us a little bit of a description as to the heart. Look at what he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and first speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What is the inspiration, if you will, or the motivation of these people who are not serving the Lord Jesus, but as the Holy Ghost states, they're serving their own belly. It's their flesh, if you will. It's within their own lust and their imaginations. That's what is inspiring them to act like that and to teach like that. And God said that's how you can identify them, to mark them, to say, hey, watch out for that guy, watch out for that girl, because what's coming out of their mouth for doctrine, and not only that, but their manner of living, the way they're living, I'm going to show you, you need to avoid it. So, do me a favor now. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Predominantly, a lot of churches are going to kind of link these two because the way your King James Bible is worded, those terms are very, very similar. So, yes, let me go back to the traditional route of Philippians 3, and then let's go ahead and start reading together here in verse number, Philippians 3, verse number 15. We are just going to define now how God describes people who are serving their belly. And I'm going to show you now from Scripture that God is going to further explain to us when somebody is serving their belly, not necessarily their stomach, like physical for food, but he's going to use that in a spiritual and figurative sense to describe something else inside the innermost parts, which is associated with their spirit, which is associated with their lusts. And I'm going to show you that now. Look at verse 15. He says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now, two things I want you to pay attention to. Minded, minded. So, as many as of you right now that are in this church, for example, you already have a little bit of Bible knowledge, a little bit of Bible belief, a little bit of Bible obedience, what you're already minding in your spirit, stay with it, stick with it. If there's anything else that God is going to continue to help you to do, he's going to help you as you're minding already what you got. Does that make sense? As you're already going as best you can with what you got. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Look at three times now, mind. So inwardly, as much as you've learned from me as the pastor here and the teacher, do my best to show you the Word of God, teaching you, and then leading by example to go out into the world and evangelize. Everything that you've learned thus far, the Holy Spirit tells you, walk by that same rule and mind that same thing. What are you got? Don't worry about what you don't have yet, but what you got, man, just mind it, keep it going, be in agreement, and then go for it. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so as ye have for, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensemble. So he told us in Romans 16, mark those guys who are teaching oppositions, who are being contrary, who are serving their belly, right? Not Jesus. He told you to avoid those guys. So yes, is it okay for us as a church and me as your pastor to say, hey, look, here is this guy specifically. Like, I can identify them. Yes. But what's the opposite? Well, what about good guys? What about good pastors? What about good teacher, the Word of God? I can also say, hey, these are some good folks. Great example for you guys to follow. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Where many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So even Paul was sad by the false teaching of these individuals who were serving not the Lord, but their belly, and who were minding earthly things. I'm going to show you that in a few seconds. And yes, it breaks my heart even to you, and certain Christian members, perhaps, and friends of mine are, you know, giving heed to these people, perhaps nowadays, social media, if you will, different pastor teachers outside of there, and how they get crazy with certain things. But look at specifically now, he's addressing people who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He says in verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind what? Earthly things. So notice the difference. He told you earlier, spiritual things, right? We're minding spiritual things, we're being spiritual and mature, and we're going to believe that spiritual doctrine, the Word of God. But then he gives you some insight as to the other people on the other side of the camp, which are who? Those people who are serving their belly, their flesh, their lusts. What do they mind, church? Earthly things. So now you'll be able to tell the difference between a brother who professes to be saved, and they say, I believe some Bible, and they want to share with you. You'll be able to identify if they're spiritual or they're earthly by the wisdom that's coming out of their doctrine and by their manner of life. Is it going to agree with the Word of God? Is it going to support the Word of God? Is it going to reinforce the Word of God? Or are they going to question the Word of God? Are they going to cause an offense of the Word of God? Are they going to cause disobedience or promote, if you will, opposition? If they do, now you know whose God they are, or whose God is theirs, if you will. Church, look at verse 19. These people who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, because that's who he identifies them as here in verse 18, he tells us, and he links those terms with the belly, because they mind earthly things. So, Brother Carlos, is there a difference between wisdom that comes from heaven and wisdom that comes from the earth? Yes, God makes that clear to us. So now, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Let's go there, Colossians chapter 3. Thank God for those of you who just came in. It sure is a blessing. We have a special announcement today. This was here in my pulpit. Felipe's smelly patas. I'm not sure we can find those. They should be around here somewhere. And the paper didn't smell, but look at the nails. I kind of need to get some work done on these things, okay? Somebody pray for whoever. No, but Colossians 3. Let's start reading together in verse number 1. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So how many of you guys would say you are a born-again Christian? Raise your hand. Okay. So we're all spiritually saved. Our Savior is up there in heaven who sits at the right hand of God. Before I ask the world advice on what I should do about a situation, before I Google about what I should do about a situation, your God commands you to do this. Seek those things which are above. But he's up there. I'm down here. What do I have available to me right now where I can literally hear my Savior and I can talk to him and he can talk to me? In between us both, we have something called the Bible, the Word of God. So when I seek the things that are above, I'm going to open up this book that came from above, that is heavenly wisdom here. I'm going to read it. I'm going to ask God to guide me in my spirit and how to make a wise choice or whatever the case might be. And that's how you're going to be able to gain heavenly wisdom. I think you understand what I'm saying. Minding spiritual things. In my inward spirit, I'm going to purposefully seek this, if you will. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things where? Above, not on things on the earth. Now, there's a good distinction. Brother Giovanni and I were talking about that. The earth. So, according to God, he's making it very clear. There's two places that he wants you to be aware of. There's the heavenly stuff and there's the earthly stuff. The heavenly stuff, good. Seek it. Where does that come from? The Word of God. Then there's the earthly wisdom. It's all around you. Some of you say, well, have I interacted with it? Yes, you have. You and I have. We think about it before you know it. It comes out of your heart. It's in there. And you came out of it from before you were a Christian. All the spiritual things you used to believe in, the philosophy you used to believe in, everything else, the way you acted. But just know it's constant around us because it's on this earth. And there's somebody that is if you will, spiritually dominating the area of the environment on this earth that is anti-God. And that's Satan. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But for the Christian, he says in verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So church, don't try to find your life with money on the earth. Don't try to find your life with your inheritance on the earth. Don't try to find your life with the acceptance of culture and government on the earth. No, you're dead. You are born again. Remember, your old man died when you became a Christian. You are a new man in Christ, and so you are looking for your heavenly inheritance from above. Everything that you have going for you is from up there. It's not from down here. I just want to make it simple. Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the what? Earth. Now look at how he describes this earthly wisdom, this earthly mindset, if you will. Fornication. Sex out of marriage, right? Sex out of being holy, matrimony, marriage. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection, that is unorderly affection, perhaps men with men, women with women, etc. Evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You see, that's why you're dead in Christ. Because before Raphael became a Christian, before Dina became a Christian, before Eileen and me, before we all became a Christian, we were living in the old man nature. We were living underneath the wisdom of this earth and our earthly members, all the stuff on the inside. We were minding sex, drugs, and alcohol and all these sinful desires, if you will. You understand what we're talking about. You know, some of us just had a filthy mouth. We lied. We couldn't be trustworthy and all that stuff. And we invested our finances in certain things that we sought hope for and investments in return. You know, all those things. But we got saved. We were taken from this world, even though we're in it, but we're no longer of it. We're born again. We have a new nature from above that God created in us when we asked him to. And now he tells you to identify these two things. Look, here's heavenly wisdom, and here's the earthly wisdom. The earthly wisdom has to do with your flesh. The earthly wisdom has to do with those inside lusts that we all have. And so therefore, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, Romans 16, Philippians 3, as he teaches you to watch out for those guys, those teachers, or women, those teachers who are going to be an offense to the doctrine, who are serving their belly. Now you know there's some other stuff going on in their life. That's why they're going to act the way they do. That's why they're going to teach the way they do. And that's why they're going to contradict the word of God like they do, because there's some other things going on in there that is coming out of them. And he tells you to watch out for them. Let's go to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. Turn with me in James 3, church, and we'll start again in verse number 13. What are we talking about? We are talking about how to identify, like God commanded us in Romans 16, people who are serving their belly, people who are serving after the manner of their lusts. You can identify them by their doctrine. You can identify them by their manner of living, their conduct. He tells you to avoid them, because they're professing something false that's not a good example for you to follow. Amen? No matter who they are, no matter who they are. Let's read together in James 3. He says, the Holy Spirit continues to help us to understand people who are serving underneath this wisdom from the earth, that earthly wisdom. Hence, it's after the flesh and lusts and all the things that are anti-God, right? Look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. What is the primary example, the way that I should lead as an example? Should I first introduce myself to Raphael when he walks through those doors and tell him how much Bible I know and impress him with my knowledge of the scriptures and say, Brother Raphael, I know you're going through life, but let me just tell you about the end time theology and the thousand year millennial reign? No. It's not for me to try to tell him how much I know. It's to demonstrate by my action how much I know. What does that mean? Here is a brother or a sister that comes through those doors, and they're all going through life. They got problems. They got things going on. But who wants to be wise? Who claims to be wise? Rather than saying, look at how much I know, let me show you by my actions. Let me show you by my deeds what I know. My action is going to tell you what I know. In other words, how can I be entrusted with you and your situation and seeking counsel? I'm going to show you first by my act to you. I'm going to show you by loving you. Let me show you by serving you. Let me show you by meeting your need. That's going to be some good first godly wisdom that you want to look at when you come across other Christians. Don't worry too much about the, you know, oh, let me just understand what this man's doctrine is. Let him show you first by his acts, his conduct. Let me just spend some time with you. Let me just kind of help you through life. And then that's what's going to open up your heart and mind, right, to you as well. Okay, brother, let me ask you a question about this. Let me ask you a question about that. Why? Because I've already proven to you by my deeds that I'm already sincere. You understand that? But verse number 14, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the what? Truth. How many of us struggle with that every once in a while? A little envy, a little strife. This wisdom, remember, now we're talking about that, heavenly wisdom versus earthly wisdom. God says here, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly. There you go, Brother Giovanni, now we're talking about it. So when you compare those terms now, earthly, God makes that a distinction on purpose, because he is telling you to identify the difference between what comes from up there from what comes from down here. What comes from up there is not what comes from down here. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. It's sensual. And look at what he says. It's devilish. So the false teachers that God warns us about in Romans 16 and Philippians 3, their doctrine is going to come from the earthly realm. Their doctrine is going to be filled with sensations, and their doctrine is going to be devilish. And he tells you to be aware of that. He tells you to mark them. He tells you to identify them, and he tells you to avoid them. Sensual, the feelings. You got to be careful with those feelings, church. You got to be real careful. That's not from God. God doesn't operate off about how a man feels. He operates off by what he stated. Devilish. Oh, the devil is going to work hand in hand with your feelings. If he can get you to think that you're right and you're justified by your deed, by how you feel, versus consulting God and the scriptures, that's the earthly wisdom, and he's going to keep you in that for the rest of your life until you repent of that and say, man, I need to stop going off my feelings. I need to start going off what God stated simply here. What are some of the identifying factors that we can mark out and say, hey, we need to avoid that? Look at what he says in verse 16. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and some evil work. Is that what your Bible says? Every evil work. So what do you tell me, Brother Carlos said, just because there's a minor problem in our church, are we all of a sudden evil? No. But when there is a problem in our church, and if it's an envious spirit, if it's a spirit of strife, God said the devil's around there somewhere. The Lord is trying to warn us as Christians, when we begin to become envious of one another, strife against each other, and it's not in alignment with the truth, in verse 14, he already told you, fool, it's you. It's your sensations. It's the devil getting the best of you. It's you operating off the wisdom from this earth that's not from above. And he warns you. He says, that's an evil thing. That's not from the Holy Spirit in you. That's from the devil. That's from your flesh. So again, be careful, Christian. Before we start critiquing every other church we disagree with, let's first point the finger at ourselves and say, man, am I just a forgiving Christian? Am I a peaceful Christian? Or am I a Christian that wants to seek to continue to be envious and strife with people around me all the time and pointing out blemishes, et cetera, et cetera? You know what the Bible just told you? You better rethink that wisdom where you got it from. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first what, church? It's pure. Then it's what? Peaceable. Then it's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of what? Mercy and good fruits without partiality. So it doesn't favor just because I know you. It doesn't favor because we're family. It doesn't favor because you're giving me money. And it's without what? Hypocrisy. I want you to look at this real quick without partiality, because the last chapter that I'm going to add, for those of you who were here last week, some of this is repeat, but this is going to be some new stuff, 2 Peter 3, before we get there, it's without partiality. God is going to warn us about these false teachers and false prophets, that they make a gain of their converts because of their feigned words, that is, their doctrine. It comes out, it sounds good. It sounds like it's acceptable because you're just listening to Bible terms coming out of their mouth. But now the agenda, if you will, of those individuals he warns you against, now he already explained to you their heart. Evil, envious, strife, the devil's in it. It's off feelings. The devil's in that. He's going to work through that. And the way that you'll be identifying it is by understanding and identifying the conduct, the manner of life, and the doctrine. Is there purity there? Is it peaceful? Is there gentleness there? Is there mercy and good fruits? And is there no hypocrisy? If you see that in your local assembly and you see that in other Christians, hey, those are good people to be around. Those are good people to be around. Look at verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that who? Make peace. So how are you going to help maintain it? You have to sow it. And you have to keep it going. One chapter to the right. James 4. Before we get to 2 Peter. Verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Church, here's a quick question. Where does the problem start in my heart when I start pointing the finger at somebody who is a Christian, who was saved just like you, born again just like you, no longer on their way to hell just like you? Where does that start when those problems begin? Does it begin with me? Or does it begin with the other person? It begins with me. Look at what he said. Where do those wars and fightings come from? Don't they come from your lust that are in your members? And what did he tell us in Colossians 3? The members of our flesh, fornication, anger, wrath, malice. You read it, Colossians 3. The problem is me. The problem is lust in my flesh. So those false teachers that he warns you about in Romans 16, those false men that he warns you about in Philippians 3, now you know what their problem is. It's their sin, the way they carry themselves, their manner of living. In verse 2, he tells them, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Wisdom from above doesn't ask for self gain. It asks for, it's selfless. In other words, it asks for the benefit of others. Wisdom from the earth, the devil, the feelings, it's all about me, what I can gain. He says in verse number 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's what he said. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? All of you, right now, have a spirit that has a lot of lust. Can I get an amen? Anybody? I'm agreeing with God. I am my worst enemy, and I am my most biggest problem. So because I know that now, and I'm in a sober state of my mind, right? I'm not angry right now. I'm not really upset. I'm kind of cool-minded, if you will. I recognize that about myself. Notice, I'm not talking about you. And notice how you're not talking about me. We were all recognizing that. Okay, God, we have a problem in us. Okay, God, what do we need to do? He just told you back there in chapter 3, look, here's that wisdom that comes from above. First, it's pure, it's peaceable. So when you're surrounding yourself with good Christian people, their spirit, if their heart is on the Lord and if their heart is on the Word of God, what they're going to do their best is they're going to do their best to increase within your walk with God peace, gentleness, mercy, goodness. They're gonna increase within you a love for the Word and obedience to the Word. But when you start hanging out with other Christians that are going to act contrary to that, hence what he's warning us, they're earthly minded. They're going to be strife, envious, murmuring, complaining. He tells you what's going on in their body. They got a problem with themselves. And it's in there. And they're going to try to give that to you. And then you might be led away and astray because you know your spirit, it may be gullible by their teaching and their doctrine. You got to protect your heart, your mind. Look at verse number 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Who do you need to submit to first? Your pastor or to God? God. Because he's the only one that can guard the heart. He's the only one that can change the spirit that are lusting in your body. Your pastor cannot do that for you. Your family can't do that for you. Your children cannot do that for you. The government cannot do that for you. And your money can't do that for you. The only one who can get in there and begin to operate on you and your sin is the Word of God. Let it get in there, church, and let it begin to cut out all that old man stuff. Let it begin to cut out all the evil and earthly things, and that way you can be humble and you can be encouraging and spiritually edifying to other Christians who, too, are doing the same thing. What are we learning from the Word of God today, church? We are learning who to avoid. We're learning why. Because now we can identify, we can mark, we can point, and we can say, hey, be careful because look at the way they're acting, look at their conduct, look at their teaching. It's not biblical. So Felipe, he's going to be that godly priest to Sister Maribel. He's going to be like, hey, hon, this is why. Yeah, look at that guy on TV. Not good. Why? Because here. Yeah, you know, those folks down the street, here's why. But this church, man, that pastor, he's cool. Why? Because look, he's pretty cool right here. He's pretty solid. He's faithful to his wife, etc. You understand? We're going to measure up by here. Measure up their conduct and their teaching, and then, hey, we have fellowship. It's all good. Not a problem. 2 Peter chapter 2, before we close. Now, for those of you who were here last Sunday, you didn't get this part. So this will be new to you, and then we'll come back to a close. We'll go back to Romans 16 and finish it up. 2 Peter 2. Thus far, church, what have we learned? Man, not all Christians serve God sincerely. Some Christians begin to go back to the flesh. They begin to put themselves ahead of others. And that's why the Lord told us, man, they're serving their belly, not Jesus. He told you to avoid them. Others who profess to be Christian, but they're not, as we're going to learn today in 2 Peter 2, they're actually false teachers, false prophets. So these are literally not born again Christians, but they're going to bear the name. You got to avoid them too. And how can we? Well, he's going to teach us right now. Avoid, avoid, avoid. But what do we do for those other folks out there? Those other folks who may just be ignorant. They may honestly just not know any better. Well, you know better. So what can you do? You can have grace and you can pray for them. You can try your best to be an example, but you just need to make sure that you're strong enough so that way you don't get carried away with their sin or their lack there. You understand what I'm saying? 2 Peter chapter 2, let's read together, starting here in verse number 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and brought upon themselves swift destruction. Peter is writing to these Christians before he dies. Now, this is 2,000 years ago, so I know we're not in Oceanside back in 2 Peter 2. This is not California. You know, this is not with everything that we got going on today. 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, there are some Christians that are gathering where he is writing to, and he is warning them. Just like in the Old Testament days with the people of Israel getting false prophets and trying to get the people to disobey God and go contrary to God's word, he warned these Christians, there are going to be false prophets and false teachers among you. They're coming. So you need to be ready. And what are they going to do? Look at what he says there. He's who privily. What does that word privily mean? It means privately. It means secretly. They're going to bring in some teaching that God, the Holy Spirit, calls heresies. And what is a heresy? It is a teaching that goes contrary to the word of God. And one of those teaching is what? Denying the Lord that bought them. And because of that, they are going to bring upon themselves swift destruction. You may say, well, Brother Carlos, can you at least tell us one example of who might be some of these kind of false teachers and folks that teach? I'm just going to tell you this. All you have to do is look up an organization and ask yourself, do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God who died for the sins of all the world, not just a select group of people, not just for the black people, white people, Asian people, not just for their misinterpretation of 144,000, etc., but he died for all. If they deny those two fundamental things, God told you they're false, you better watch out. Who might that be? Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a false gospel. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was God who died for the sins of all the world. They believe that there's only a select few, which they wrongly and badly misinterpret Revelation about the 144,000. Some of you guys heard about that. Who else? World Mission Society Church of God. They believe their prophet from Korea was Jesus Christ. That's a false teaching. You see, I can point out those organizations easily by just looking at the Bible and lining it up with their statements. And I'm like, okay, yeah, they're denying the deity of Christ. They're denying that he died for all. And because of that, some destruction. So I already know, completely avoid those organizations. If I run across them, I'm going to try to win them to Christ. But after that, peace. You're on your own, boy, on your way to that lake of fire. I ain't going to be hanging out with y'all over there. Verse number 2. You want to know the sad part, though? Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Do you want to avoid biblical prophecy? Keep your eyes on the word of God. Don't become one of these that begins to be led astray. Sadly, church, there's a friend of mine from years ago who ended up getting led astray by one of these churches because one of his buddies in the military, he just started to privately teach him, okay, these things. Like he warned us secretly away from his pastor, away from his church, and he got sucked into this church, and I think he got married, and now that's a bad deal. Is he saved? I don't know, guys. Honestly, I don't know. But all I'm just trying to tell you is subtle, secretly, with some good words, make him feel good, and boom, he got led astray. It's real sad. Pray for that guy. The Lord knows his name. I don't need to say his name. But many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So their doctrine and their movement is going to contradict the Bible's plain teaching, and that's be able to identify that. Now, verse number 3. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now you know they're not saved. That's why he told you from the beginning, these are false teachers, these are false prophets, these are not born-again Christians who just have a messed up doctrine. These are people who like are straight up not Christian at all in any manner, shape, or form, but they have created a religious institution and organization that comes off as such. And what did he tell you? He warned you about their what? Feigned words. You know what that word feigned means? It means deceitful. It means pretended, counterfeit, hypocritical. And what does it mean when one makes merchandise of another? It literally just means they make use of you for gain. So that's what they do. That's how they operate. I want you to look at verses 4 through 9 now. For if God spared not, that's the first time. Verse number 5, and spared not, second time. See that? All the way here through verse number 9, he is talking about judgment. So now he's telling you, look, here is the outcome of these false prophets and false teachers. God is not going to spare judgment. And now he's going to give us an example of the people he has judged in the past so you can see the outcome of those people. So let's read it real quick. Verse 5, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the what? Ungodly. So that's how it just defined it for you. You say, Brother Carlos, is he talking about the people who died at the flood? Yes. And who died at the flood? The ungodly. So who were they? They were unbelievers. You're with me so far. Verse 6, who else did he not spare? Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live what? Ungodly. Two times now. Who does God not spare? The ungodly. Why? Because of their ungodliness. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, we already know, homosexuality. Okay, sodomites. False teachers, false prophets, if those organizations and churches begin to promote transgenderism, promote homosexuality, promote pedophilia, they are false. They're false teachers or false prophets. They do not represent the God of the Bible. What is the end of their spiritual life? Destruction, destruction, destruction. Will I probably get kicked off YouTube for saying that? Probably. But that's what the Bible says. So look at verse 7. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Sodomy and homosexuality, according to God, is a wicked life. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexes righteous soul from day to day with their what? Unlawful deeds. Homosexuality, pedophilia, all that is an unlawful, wicked deed, according to God. You see there? Verse number, that was wicked too. I don't know what's going on there, brother, but we need to pray for that guy. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. Now notice the comparison. Who was he just talking about? The ungodly, the unjust, compared to who? The godly. Are you with me so far? So the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of what? Judgment to be punished. Who's a Christian here today? Romans 5 told you as a Christian that you and I have been delivered from the wrath to come. We no longer have to worry about the wrath and judgment of God for our soul because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. These false prophets and false teachers that he's warning about in 2 Peter 2, they're not born again. They're ungodly. They deny Jesus. They deny God's word. And therefore, they begin to teach something on behalf of the God of the Bible that goes completely contradictory. And therefore, they're going to be judged. So can you say, Brother Carlos, give me an example. The majority of the Methodist movement today is now beginning to go this way. They got homosexual women pastors, quote unquote, and then all those different movements, if you will, those New Age ecumenical, just accept everybody. There's no biblical gospel. And according to God, they're going to be judged one day. You need to watch out for them. Let's come back now to the earthly-minded teacher. Are you ready? Verse number 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And he begins to explain a comparison about even angels. Whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Wow, these are just some messed up people. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. That's right. When they claim to be representing God, general creator, etc., however they want to identify him, they're not speaking of the God of the Bible because they don't understand. They're not born again. According to God, the Bible says that they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. So again, they're going to come in privately. You better get ready. They're going to come in secretly. They're going to act like a Christian on the outside, but inwardly they are an ungodly reprobate waiting to win you over to their side of the camp. And so that way they can tell their leaders or whoever, hey, we got one more. You know what God said about these people? Earthly-minded people? They have eyes full of adultery. Ooh, that's just wicked, isn't it? How many of you guys despise adultery? I know some of it may be personal to some of us, but I understand we're forgiven. But here's what I'm saying. Look at how God identifies these false prophets. They are just messed up, wicked on the inside. Do not trust them. Look at, they cannot cease from sin. They're beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. They are cursed children. These are not born again people that he's talking about. These folks have forsaken the right way, which tells me they had a choice and are gone astray. They're following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. You guys remember the donkey that rebuked the guy back in the Old Testament? God says of these false prophets and false teachers, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the what? Are you ready? Lust of the flesh. That's how they're going to get you. That's how they're going to try to make gain of you. That's how they're going to try to deceive you. That's how through their fair speeches, right? They're simple words. They come off as good. But what are they alluring to? Your feelings. So the Holy Spirit warned you, Christian. In James 3, James 4, 2 Peter 2, Colossians 3, earthly wisdom operates off of three primary things. The flesh, the lust, and the devil. Your feelings are a great gateway for the devil and false doctrine to get you to quit on God and get you to quit on church, and it'll end you up in a real messed up place. That's why he warned you. And through much wantonness, those that were escaped from them who live in error. Don't be one of the many, church, that he told you about. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servant of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the miry. Church, who do I need to warn you about? False prophets and false teachers. How will they try to deceive you? Through their words, their doctrines, their personalities. Man, they may be the friendliest person. How many of you guys have run across Mormons? They are really friendly. They're really nice people, but they are really on their way to hell because they deny the deity of Christ. They have a false gospel and all the other religious cults out there. Let's go back to Romans 16 and close. Romans 16. We're going to finish now. So now you know, you've been warned, you've been reminded. The rest of the choice is you, my friend. You have to do your best to keep your eyes on Jesus and the Word of God. Verse 19, Paul tells us of these Christians who were gathered at Rome, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. That is a good model, church. If we here at Simple Faith Baptist want to continue to be a blessed of God and individually blessed, what we need to do is to keep our hearts and our minds on that which is good. Don't worry and concern yourself with all the evils of the world. It's not for your spiritual benefit. Me and Brother Giovanni were talking about that, you know, the politics and the shop talk and all that. Hey, it's okay. We know what God says, and that's fine. We don't necessarily need to be up to date with all the evils, etc. Just take it between you and the Lord. Verse 20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now that's going to be powerful. That's what he told them. In the Old Testament, when Joshua conquered those kings, what did he do? He laid them all down and then they stomped on their necks. I don't know how this is going to play out, but it may be that one day in the future judgment, Satan lay down on his belly, Christians stomp your feet, or Christ on our behalf stomps it. Either way, Satan loses. So don't give up heart. Amen. Satan loses, God wins, and one day we're going to be victorious over sin and the devil. Amen. Timotheus, verse 21, my workfellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, they salute you. I just talked to you guys about that last Sunday, that these were just fellow Jews who got saved. Verse number 22, who wrote the book of Romans, church? Anybody? What does it say? Tertius. So when you say, hey, Paul said, well, let's rethink that biblically. Hey, what did Tertius say? Tertius wrote what Romans is. So again, just know the way that God did it in the Old Testament too. Here's Jeremiah. And then Jeremiah would speak the word of God. And then Baruch wrote it down, right? So no problem. The Holy Spirit can instruct an apostle or a prophet. And then they can have a secondary pensman to physically write it down. But praise the Lord, Tertius, he is the one who actually wrote the entire epistle at the mouth of Paul's doctrine. Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Praise the Lord. So the church at Corinth, they just sent their love to all the Rome. And it's like us saying, hey, Brother Alfredo, we love y'all from us here in Oceanside over here. Man, we love you guys. We love you guys. We love you guys. All the great charity there. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. In Quartus, a brother. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now was made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. What do I want to leave you with? The only one church who has the ability and the power to keep your heart in peace, to keep your mind on peace, your spirit on him and peaceful in your heart and your family as you deal with everyone else around you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that he can do that for you, just like we're learning the Sunday school hour for those of you here, he told us, he that hath my commandment and keepeth him, he it is that loveth me, and my Father will love him. The way that we're able to have this this amazing relationship with God and him with us is if we as an individual keep our heart on his word. And as it pertains to the study and the revelation of all this mystery, it's been revealed. Look at verse 26. But now is made manifest. And by the what? Scriptures are the prophets. So where did it start for the gospel? It started in the Old Testament. God promised the gospel in the Old Testament. And now, when Christ came and he went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles in Acts 2. Remember, they began to preach. The Spirit of God began to give the apostles divine unction for doctrine. So now we have the rest of our New Testament. But it first started where? In the Old Testament. Because that's according to the command of the everlasting God. Was the gospel only for a few? Was the gospel only for one people group on the earth? Was it for the Jews only? No. Was it for the whites? No. The blacks? No. The browns? No. The Bible says that God promised this everlasting promise through Jesus Christ to be made known to where? All nations. And it's not just for the knowledge, but look at what it says, obedience. How many have a problem with that? Anybody here? So lastly, what does he end with? To God only wise, not to a pastor, not to a church. To God, the scriptures, hence our authority, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So that, my friends, is the conclusion of Romans chapter number 16. We officially ended our Bible study through the Word of God in our very first book that we started since this church started back in 2017. It took us 3 years to get through this one book because it's jam-packed, amen. But now we're moving forward. And I'm very happy. Today we should kind of celebrate. No, but it's okay. We don't have to celebrate. But man, I'm glad. Every verse we studied through Romans 16, praise the Lord for that. So church, as you guys can see, that's the conclusion to the matter of the book of Romans. We studied every chapter, every verse. of the truth for Christianity or Christian living than you had before. All of it is there. You can rehearse it whenever you'd like. And just know now that our responsibility and duty is not only to continue to remind you, but our responsibility and duty is to live it out, to do our best to be what? Obedient. Look at that, verse 26, to the faith. It doesn't just stop there with learning it. The fullness is learning it and then putting it into practice. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for reminding all of us here today, Lord, as your children, how to understand and how to identify and how to mark good Christianity from bad Christianity. I thank you, Lord God, that you told us how we can identify false teachers and false prophets. But mostly, Lord, I'm thankful how you told us how we can identify sin, first and foremost, within our own selves, so we could prevent all the other worldly and earthly problems from seeping into our church, because we first take care of our sin problem within ourselves before allowing it to get out of our lips and allowing it to permeate and affect others because of our bitterness, etc. Lord, I'm thankful that you've told us how we all can operate and keep ourselves whole and sound and peaceful and right before you, God. Lord, I'm glad that we don't have false teachers and false prophets. I'm glad that we have a good church. I'm glad that we have good doctrine. I'm glad that we agree here at our church with your word. Some of us, we don't have to worry about that now. We're thankful, Lord. But when our members leave these doors and they encounter the world and the devil, Lord, I'm glad that you taught them today from your word how to be careful, how to protect themselves, and how to maintain pure doctrine in their life. Lord, my prayer today, and I hope the saints are praying for me, Lord, is that you would keep me pure, keep me whole, and keep me in obedience, God, so that way I can continue to be an example to everybody here today, Lord. And I pray for everybody's needs here today, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I know they all have something going on, whether it's health, infirmity in the flesh, Lord, for one of our sisters here, or our family, reconciliation for one of the brothers here, Lord. I just pray for everybody's needs here today, Lord, that you would meet them. Please help them to continue to trust you. Please help them to continue to obey you, even when it doesn't feel right or maybe it doesn't make sense, God. Help them to continue to grow as children of God. And I'll thank you for it ahead of time in Jesus' name. What do we say, church? Amen. Well, church, that's it. End of Romans. Let me just leave you with last announcement. For those of you guys who came in a little later, we're going to be going to Chula Vista today to go visit a dear friend of mine, Pastor Melito. If you want to go with us for a fun drive, let me know. We're not going to leave here until like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And then we'll be back by like 7:30, et cetera. And then number two, as a church family, we're going to start praying for our dear brother, Raphael. There's a need that we want to meet. So aside from our natural giving for our church needs, it's going to be a special offering. Every Sunday, we're just going to start soon, and we're just going to start sending it aside. Whatever's on your heart, you don't have to. This is free will. We're just going to come behind our brother, Raphael. We care about him, and we want to see the Lord do something great with his family. It's going to take a couple of $100 to try to get his family to him in love and time. I know it's not going to be overnight, but at least we as a family can do our best to get there. I know Sister Dina and I were talking about that not too long ago. We care about our brother Raphael, so we're just going to start raising in-house funds to help meet a need. And so starting next Sunday, throughout the month of May, we're just going to raise him as best we can and try to be a blessing to this brother and help get that family reunited, amen, connected. And keep in prayer, amen? So keep this brother in prayer as we move forward, all right? All right, everybody have a good rest of your day. The Lord bless.